at the root, it's basically an XML schema of data attributes that we want to collect. You know, in FY10, essentially, the data feed is going to be getting that schema in an XML flat file from the agencies. Hopefully, they're collecting that, you know, via their security management tools, right? And they output, put the flat file in the correct schema, and then they upload it to CyberScope. So it's as simple as that right now. The schema is not going to be all that complex this year, obviously, but I think it will evolve. But just kind of focus on just some core sort of data attributes, and mainly around, you know, again, the SCAP standards. So we're not trying to create a new set of standards. We're looking at SCAP, working with NIST to define that schema. But it's going to essentially focus around, you know, common platform enumeration. So that's your inventory information, CCEs. So that's your configuration enumeration, so your config status. And then the third one is CVE, so common vulnerability enumeration, so your vulnerability status. So we're really focused on those three sort of sets of information, getting that in an automated way. And it's not going to be machine to machine this year. It'll be, you know, just give us a flat file, upload it, and off we go.
Obviously, some agencies are going to be more advanced. They'll maybe have some of that data already that's automated. Some will have to go back through. For those agencies that are not as advanced, what are you guys doing to help them? Or is it really just, as you said, we're going to write the schema, make it an XML, and make it as easy as possible?
For the agencies that aren't quite there yet, the things we're doing are some of the generic things. We've looked at quite extensively Department of State's solution. They've got really a best-of-breed capability out there. Justice is in the midst of implementing something similar, and IRS. And so we've looked at all three of those solutions, and we've actually defined a reference architecture for that. So the idea is we'll publish that out to the agencies in probably a few weeks, sometime in June. And then we actually already have an enterprise-wide blanket purchase agreement in place with GSA that's out there for agencies to use. That has, it's called SAR-Tier 1, and it's got some of the tools on it that agencies need to make that capability come to life. So we've kind of got the foundation in place to help agencies already in that space, and so hopefully it's just a matter of making sure they have the funding.
And obviously I've heard Tier 2 tools are maybe on the way as well?
Yeah, that's right. So we've got SAR-Tier 2 coming as well, and then we've actually started just recently SAR-Tier 3, which will be more robust and complete set of continuous monitoring tools and services.
And just to be clear, because just to make sure our listeners understand, when you say Tier 2 and Tier 3, give us an example of maybe not necessarily vendor X, but a tool that does what to be Tier 2, and then another tool that does what to be Tier 3?
Tier 1 was really focused on config management, network discovery. Tier 2 is, I think we've got some firewall, you know, boundary protection types of tools. Then Tier 3, again, is going to be sort of the broad set of continuous monitoring SIM tools that you can integrate all your different data feeds into for, you know, your SOC functionality.
We're talking with Matt Kuss, the Director of Federal Network Security at the Homeland Security Department at the Management of Change Conference. Matt, the other thing you mentioned during your panel presentation at the conference was an industry day coming up. But I want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about that, because I think people hear industry day and get very excited about there's money out there from DHS, but in fact it's something a little different.
I can't speak too much. This is really a Department of Justice event, because they were the developers of CyberScope, and they currently manage the application. But they are planning to do an industry day. I think the really purpose of that is going to be to get out that schema, publish the schema to vendors that develop security management tools, and allow them to start to figure out how do we start feeding CyberScope these automated feeds. And so how can we conform to that schema? What do we need to do on the product dev side? And how can we help agencies sort of meet the FISMA requirement?
The other thing that came up during the panel discussion here at Management of Change, because the idea of red teaming and blue teaming .gov networks, is that something that DHS is doing? Is that something that you're going to do, kind of playing off of the National Security Agency's role, what they've done for a long time with the DoD networks?
Yeah, it absolutely is in our plans. So pending congressional approval of the FY11 budget, FNS will be offering that service to agencies come FY11. So we're in the process now of working with NSA and a couple other folks to define the methodology we're going to use to actually get that service out. And then as long as we get the funding in FY11, that's definitely a service we're going to offer.
I know we're talking maybe stuff that's a little bit out there, but is this something, when you say a service, something agencies will pay for, or something that you'll offer and agencies can take advantage of as needed?
The plan that we put forward is for DHS to pay for the service and actually do it as a value-added thing for the agencies. I think ultimately it'll depend on the demand we have and, you know, what our budget can support. But so we've got, you know, a planned number of visits, you know, per agency over each year. And as long as that's the demand, we'll be able to pay for it. If the demand exceeds kind of that, or, you know, agencies want more of that, you know, there might be a need to look at agency funding. But at this point, DHS plans to pay for that.
One of the other things you work on within the Federal Network Security Division of DHS is the Trusted Internet Connections. And I'd like to get an update of where we're at with it, where we're going. I understand that you guys had recently come up with a reference architecture around TIC. Describe what that means and how that works.
We have published a reference architecture 1.0, and that was several months ago or maybe even over a year now. And so we're basically out there doing the assessments, the on-site validations with our compliance team. And we've, gone through several agencies. We've seen a lot of progress there. And so essentially TIC 1.0, is all about kind of boundary protections, getting those in place across the agencies, and then consolidating network traffic to go through, these kind of trusted sites. So we've been working with an interagency group on developing the second version of those set of capabilities. So we've got a TIC 2.0 working group. It's been meeting for a couple of weeks now. And we'll be publishing the TIC 2.0 version. And essentially all we're doing is, TIC 1.0 was, there's 51 capabilities, establishing a baseline really for agencies to meet in really kind of monitoring and protecting their boundaries. TIC 2.0 is just going to be along the same lines. We're just raising the bar a little bit. We've got a few more capabilities we're going to add. We've combined a few that we got some feedback from agencies that there was some, overlap or redundancy. And so the 2.0 version will be coming out in quarter four of FY10.
DHS, especially your office, but DHS specifically, has seen a huge change in terms of the whole positioning, posture of cybersecurity, in terms of their role. Where do you see it going in the future?
And cybersecurity is obviously a pretty big focal point for DHS, and definitely a growing mission space. So there are some challenges we have with respect to growing, no different really than any other business, though, I don't think. We certainly want to leverage the expertise that's out there in the private sector, and so that's helped us to get the capabilities on quickly when we need to. Obviously, along with that, we're growing our federal staff, too. So, we're trying to do the hiring thing and find the right people with the right skill sets, and it can be a challenge. But, so far, I've seen a really good pool of applicants, and we've been pretty happy with the results we've gotten.